It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9, again, home of your Powell County Sports Network. Again, it is a beautiful Wednesday evening here in Stanton, Kentucky, after a couple days of, I guess, no school here in Powell County. Again, and one of those days, not even remote. We're just kind of a snow day, kind of a cool to get those after we've been in remote for so long. But again, we are back in session as far as school is concerned. We're back at it here on WSKV's PCSN Live. And we had a game last night with Richmond Model and the boys over in Richmond. And there was also a girls game last night at Nicholas County. So got a lot of sports to talk about here in a moment. But first, we're going to give you our daily COVID updates.
Yeah, I need to apologize to you. At this point, you said Richmond Model, which is normally what I say instead of just Model. So
Model.
I apologize. You picked up on that. You know, it was Richmond Model for decades.
Still is.
You know, before they, exactly, even though they've dropped the Richmond part, which I don't blame them. But anyway, when we look at the COVID numbers as of today, these are Kentucky numbers here. There are 2,592 new cases, bringing the total case count to 369,519. There are 51 new deaths in Kentucky, bringing that total to 3,863. If there is a silver lining at this point, it's the positivity rate down to 8.53%. You know, we've been up there in that, you know, 12, 13, 14 range for a while, so it's kind of slowly coming down at this point. Still, the numbers are way too high when you have 2,500 cases, almost 2,600 cases, you know, that have been reported. That's still far too many. For the local numbers here in Powell County, I'm going to go back to Saturday, January the 30th. There were four new cases on Sunday the 31st, four new cases. Monday, February the 1st, four new cases. That brought the total case count to 910. 47 were active as of Monday. There were 854 who have recovered and 9 total deaths. So we'll switch over to the second. Yesterday, the numbers were 6 new cases, bringing the total active count to 46 at that point. And then today, 4 new cases, bringing the active total to 45 cases. So 920 total cases in Powell County, 866 have recovered, 45 current active cases, 4 new today, and 9 total deaths.
So what it sounds like to me is our actual number, when you said 4 new cases and you go down one, that means more people are coming off than are going on, which is a good thing. But remember, in my opinion, I think yours as well, 4 or 5 cases is too many for us, but at least it's not 11, 9, 10, and 11. So the numbers are going down, but to me, they're right in the middle of where we were at the, not at the worst, obviously, but these were numbers we didn't want 2 months ago. These were numbers we wanted, you know, I guess after January's run. We like our numbers, but these numbers are higher than any of the numbers for the most part of December. So look at it with a grain of salt. The numbers in Kentucky are down. And again, I think Kentucky and whatever side of the politics you're on, I think Governor Beshear has done a good job when he's had to fight the legislature with what's going on there. And I understand the politics of it, but, you know, I think a lot of his suggestions have been based on the science. I think you look at Kentucky's numbers overall, 50 states, I think we've done fairly well when you just look at the raw data. So that being said, I'll commend the governor's task force, all the folks that work on the COVID group out of Frankfort, because whether you like it or not, whether he's Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. It's, I think they've done a pretty good job trying to get us on track to get these numbers down. And again, you might not like the procedure, but if it helps people stay alive and not die of COVID, then I'm all for it.
Well, I think in some ways, too, he has been a calming presence. You know, I think he's
for
consistent.
One side, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I think he's been consistent with his news conferences on a regular basis. You know, he comes out, it's kind of the same routine. You know what to expect. You know, he's not necessarily been erratic, I guess, in a sense. And just to remind people potentially who could have been in office and what would that have looked like?
I'm not second-guessing a lot of his things. Again, I mean, you've talked about this off the air. There's some things I think he lifts some restrictions due to pressure, and then the numbers go back up when they were actually working when the restrictions were on. So it's hard to get it every which way, make everybody happy because you can't. We're going to talk about more of that. Maybe we can talk about sports. But it is hard to please everyone. And, again, when you bring the politics in it that we have in our nation right now, it's so divisive. And even if you're doing good, they're wanting to, I guess, penalize you. So I take everything right now with kind of a grain of salt and kind of go forward. But actually, I like the way that Governor Beshear has put himself out there, again, in a calming tone for the most part of this, leading by example, which was the leadership we need. And again, I think Kentuckians can thank him and for the way the leadership has been, because I think he has done a lot of the things that the federal government has implemented, which has been run by the other side, and he's followed those same implementations. So it's worked for Kentucky, and again, I think Kentuckians, when you look at this in 20 years, people look back and say, I think Governor Andrew Beshear out of Kentucky did a really good job of controlling the outbreak in Kentucky. So that's to me, that's how you kind of look ahead of this, is look backwards over time and then tell us how we've done. Again, he's had not enough time in leadership to make a difference as far as anything else. So, you know, the COVID thing is what it is. I mean, it's
that's been on in many respects. That's been the main thing. That really has been the main thing that's kind of been that driving force. And not that we've always agreed with everything that he's done,
correct,
as much as it is just the consistency of keeping everyone's best interest at heart. And honestly, I think that's where he's at. That I've agreed with him, but
I think what he's done is heartfelt.
Yes, he's doing what he thinks is in the best interest of the Commonwealth. And I know people would say, well, if I were in there, I would do this or that. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. You don't know, and you'll never know because you're not in that position. Until you're in that position, we can speculate all day on what we would or wouldn't do. But when you're behind the scenes and you're getting that information, and all of a sudden you're having to make those tough decisions with your staff, it's tough.
No, I totally agree. And again, take this with a grain of salt, folks. We don't always agree with everything that goes on in government, but I will say this. I think if you lead with heart, it's hard to question. And I think for that part, I applaud. So I just think does a good job. And I see a lot of people out there that can't stand him, but
We'll find out
on the other side. You know what I'm saying?
We'll find out in three more years.
We shall. Only time tells whether it's just like anything else. Sometimes you don't find out a president's been good until 20 years down the road. I mean, so things linger, things happen. History will tell however we have been. But anyway, we'll get off the COVID political hour here and get back to some sports talk. We'll do that after the break here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
From the Challenger, Charger, and Durango to the 300 and Pacifica, the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram lineup has never been stronger. Going on now during the Start Something New sales event, all 21 products are on sale. And as always, the great folks at Tanner Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram are dealing. Before you buy anywhere, check with Daryl and the guys for great sales and service. For over 20 years, they won't be beat.
Tanner, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account,
Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless invites you to start the new year off with a bang. What better way than with a new Samsung device? The new Samsung Galaxy S21, S21 Plus, and S21 Ultra are the latest and hottest devices of the new year, with great cameras, all-day battery life, and faster processors. The S21 is the phone everyone wants and will be jealous of. From now till the end of February, the new Samsung S21 models will be $400 off the Advantage plan at Appalachian Wireless and AppalachianWireless.com. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a Level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9. Again, we are a broadcasting sport. This is our one day out of the week to kind of recognize what our sports teams do, while we do keep you updated on the COVID and how it's doing. I know for one, thankful for the Board of Education, I guess, and how the shots go out. I got mine today, so hopefully everything is continuing to go well right now. No side effects, no pain in my arm, nothing. As of yet, we'll wait and see. Hopefully there will be no side effects. And again, I know there's a lot of people today at the high school getting those vaccines. So hopefully we can get this whole school system finished, I think, by Friday's the go.
Yeah, I think under the circumstances, a lot of people have chosen to get the vaccine at this point. And obviously those that were the first responders and health care providers already have had their second dose. So at that point, then that's good to kind of get that out of the way and keep the ball rolling.
And here, the nursing homes have got a lot of those have got them, and some of the elderly here. Again, it's a lot of pressure, I think, on the schools to try to get back into full-on instruction, and I'm not sure we get there this year, but we'll wait and see what it's going to look like here after the second dose, and about a month from now when we get if we get the second dose in March, hopefully we'll be successful, and hopefully everybody can stay healthy after the second dose as well, and we can continue right on, and hopefully some things will change the way instruction is, but only time will tell. Again, we got to follow the protocols regardless, and we want people to be aware of this. Thought about having Stringer Stacy on here tonight. Forgot to call. It's my fault. About talking about the vaccine, there are protective features with the vaccine, but there are also, you have to follow the guidelines even after you've been vaccinated twice. Even if you've had COVID, you need to follow the protocols. Wear your mask, distance, and sanitize. Those three things are a must to continue to try to stay healthy. Again, the numbers, again, we think are too high. Only way you're going to lower them is doing the right thing, and we have to get through this. It's going to take, what, until August or June before the masses are fully vaccinated, and that's what we got to get to be able to kind of nip this thing a little bit better. But again, have to wait to see round two next year, see what we're looking, and whether this is a annual vaccine that we'll now have to take like the flu shot, or if you get a little bit like anything else that you have to take? Again, that's where we are with the vaccines. Again, hopefully they're successful. We've got two out right now. Looking at one more possibly here in the next few weeks with the Johnson & Johnson, and that is a one-shot deal. A little bit less effective, but still, the more shots we can get in arms, better off we are.
Well, and on one hand, too, when you look at the way the vaccines are now, how is it going to curtail, for lack of a better way of putting it, the new strands that are out there? Mm-hmm. And obviously now there's two additional strands that are actually out there. So hopefully those are kind of, people can fend those off, you know, and keep those at bay in a sense, and those don't become more of an intrusion than already the current strand
is. Well, it looks like the data right now shows that the vaccine will be somewhat effective against one, mostly effective against the other, or just as effective against the other. So bottom line is, if you get the vaccine, if you get COVID, the symptoms are supposed to be far less. That's the purpose of the vaccine. If you do get sick, you have enough antibodies built up in your system to be able to fight it off better. Therefore, hopefully the survival rate even keeps going even lower than what it is. So that's the goal of the vaccines, and hopefully everybody can eventually get there to get their shots, to get vaccinated as a public. And at that point, we can maybe look forward to some type of normalcy. But until that happens, we must follow these guidelines, folks. Again, can't let up because everybody's not getting the vaccines. I do want to thank for the folks at, I guess, Sterling Health, the nurses, all the people that came out, the paramedics that were there at the school today, all the first responders, the nurses, the caregivers that came out. Thank you guys very much for coming out and doing that for us. Again, it's a service that is provided. I guess they have to have the ambulance crew on staff in case there's some adverse reactions. So again, thank you guys very much.
Yeah, I think the plan has been well planned.
Yeah,
you know, in a sense, as far as getting everyone and getting it scheduled and organized and everything, and it seemed to have gone very smooth. And obviously they're going to continue on tomorrow as well, so yeah. Hopefully it's just another step in the process.
I was a lot of folks getting vaccines while I was had to wait my 15 minutes, and a lot of people had been prior to me and a lot of people after me. So it was good to see as many as I saw today getting the vaccine. Looked like probably at least in my time slot, probably 30 to 40 people. And that's around the 2 o'clock time slot this afternoon. So looked pretty good what they were getting done today. Again, thank the school system, the state, again, the manufacturers but more importantly to me, all the healthcare workers that came out today and to put the shots in the arms, and they're doing all the legwork.
Well, and that's what it's going to take. So, again, cross our fingers that, you know, this makes an impact and a difference. And I believe that at least the school district here in Powell County is looking to potentially go back to in-person fully around March the 1st.
Now, what in-person is going to look like, I think they're still going to have the window open for remote.
Yes.
So what in-person is going to look like may be different than what some people perceive it to be.
It could still be considered a hybrid model.
Hybrid, yeah. I think Dr. Orr's done a really good job. He has followed the state mandates pretty much all year as far as recommendations. He followed those guidelines, and kudos to Dr. Orr for following the state guidelines, because we haven't had the incidence rates that others have had going back too early, and I think he's done a good job with that. Again, he's in leadership. You're not always going to agree with leadership, but in this case, I think he's probably made the right calls.
Yeah, and you know, I think in the big picture, too, even though we are still a red county, some of the counties around us are starting to go orange. You know, the numbers are starting to come down, and hopefully we are trending in that direction where we can get out of the red along with the rest of the counties in Kentucky.
Well, you read off about, 14 or 15 cases new this week, and the start of the week, the number was actually lower or higher than where we are today, even adding cases. So that means more have come off than have went on. That's a trend in the right direction, even though the numbers seem to be high. So I think we're trending in the right direction. Let's just keep working and trying to keep that number on down. We'll take a break again here on PCS Line. I promise we'll get back to sports next break.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9, your Powell County Sports Network. All right, here we go with we'll go with boys action first. Last night, Powell County traveled to the Model Laboratory School. We just do it that way. Over in Richmond, and we thought we were going to have a game where Powell County could slip up and get a win. And I don't mean that to be mean, but it is what it is. Powell County winless on the season, was going up against a 1-7 Model, and a third quarter that was really ugly, a 31-7, I believe, in the third quarter alone. Turn into a running clock in the fourth and a 25-point victory for Model.
Yeah, a tough outing for the Pirates. And I think when, you know, we thought in our mind, in a sense, right going in, okay.
Just looking at records.
Yeah, looking at records in a sense, and they're thinking, okay, well, obviously they've not performed well, and let's see how it turns out, only to realize that even a 1-7 record could be deceptive because they had some really good players. A lot of quickness, a lot of speed, block shots, rebounding. They out-rebounded the Pirates by like 15 rebounds. The Pirates basically one and done when they would be on offense. Chandler Congleton comes in averaging 13 a game, only ends up with 6. And that's the last two outings, actually, that we've seen him. 6 points both outings, so his average continues to kind of drop a little bit. He's playing, instead of down in the post, playing high. And at that point, not that it's out of his comfort zone by any means, but at the same time, we're used to seeing him down below, and all of a sudden you're drawing him to the free throw line in a sense to try and get him the ball. And at times they were trying to force the ball into him only to get a turnover or for him to get trapped or something. And, you know, not that he threw it away, but still a turnover would ensue on that possession. The Pirates have not shot the ball well basically all season. No matter if that's 2-point field goals or even the 3-point field goals. Not quite sure how to correct the issues and problems that they kind of have. And granted, they're inexperienced, and we're going to continue to push that because that's a fact and that's the truth. The problem is, though, is that at this point, I'm not necessarily seeing any improvement in the team concept and the team game.
Well, what we talked about off the air last night on the way home, on the way over, what we expected and then what we saw was probably a negative, because what I saw last night was a team that wasn't playing good team basketball. We had a lot of folks, in my opinion, and I may be totally off base on this. This might be what they were instructed to do. But we had, to me, way too many people that were looking for theirs. And, again, when you've got your leading scorer is a post player, and he's playing, again, playing high. We're in a, pretty much a 1-4 set against a 2-3 zone. I'm not sure I love that kind of setup anyway, but that puts him out of his better skill area. But basically there he is a pass-2, kick-out kind of play, and you're looking for your shot. What I was seeing Palcane do is really not get a lot of shots because they couldn't get their feet set to take a shot from the three. A lot of trying to drive against a much bigger post player who was very active. I think he had 8 blocks on the night because we had guys driving in trying to shoot over top of a guy that you're – it's not going to work. So, to me, I think you had some guys really forcing the issue. Didn't look like there was much of a scheme to what they were trying to get done. I'm not saying they weren't trying. They were trying. The effort was there. But I'm not sure it was in the confines of what the offense dictates, if that makes any sense. And then defensively – saw several breakdowns last night where you had 5 guys chasing the ball. That's only going to lead to bigger problems underneath the basket. We saw that a few times in the third quarter. They were on that 31-7
run
there, and it wasn't pretty what we saw. Basically, what that was we were coming out of a trap, three-quarter court trap or zone, and we didn't know where to go. It didn't look like. We were kind of lost somewhere out there in the stratosphere. And, I talked to one of the coaches today, and they said that they work on this stuff. You know, the 3 questions I asked, what do you do here? What do you do here? What do you do here? And what are you instructing? And the answer was, we do this every day in practice. It's just not carrying over to the games. So if they're covering what needs to be covered in practice, then I can give some of the ownership to the players. If they're not covered in practice, I give the ownership to the coaches. So I'm not there. I don't know what's going on. I know what I've been told. And it looked like last night we had a lot of players trying to do their best to get theirs without the team getting theirs, if you will.
Yeah. And I think on one hand too, the fact that we're having a difficult time trying to figure out what it is that they're doing offensively. Yeah. And if we're having a hard time figuring out as long
it's
as we've done
probably
this.
Probably not accurate.
Yeah, right. I mean, somewhere along the line, there's obviously a breakdown, whether that's communication, whether that's the players not listening, whether that's the coaches not communicating. Whatever it is, obviously there's not been an improvement as the season has gone along, and you would like to think in some form or fashion you would start seeing improvement in certain areas. I think defense is probably one of the weakest areas that they have. When they're giving up 60 and 70 points consistently, but they're only able to score 30 or 40 points themselves on a regular basis, that there's that discrepancy in a sense as far as both sides of the ball.
Well, if my offense, if we looked at the statistics a little bit earlier, you're shooting below what you should shoot from 2. You're shooting below what you should shoot from 3. You're shooting below what you should shoot from free throws. That being said, if you're shooting poorly all over the place, then it's a fundamental issue. If it's shot selection, that's, again, a fundamental and experienced type issue. I said this early in the season. This team's going to get the benefit of the doubt from me because they're young and experienced. But I'm going to give them 10 games. Because at the 10-game mark, we should see a different set. So hopefully we kind of use this as Coach Fraley used to call, and not everybody was a fan of Coach Fraley, but I will say this. He did it 3 groups of 10, 10, 10, and 10. What you started at, where you are in the middle, and where you are at the end. Okay, folks, if Palcon is now in that second 10, let's see a change of where you were to where you're going and where you're going to be. If you could do it in phases, let's kind of do a restart. And again, we got to pick up some things fundamentally that we're doing really poorly. And some of that is just more work on the players to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, whether you work on your footwork, work on your jump shot, a quicker jump shot. You got to have a quicker release. Had a lot of guys last night couldn't get a shot off because they didn't have time to set their feet to get the shot off. So if that's an issue, you're probably practicing wrong. I mean, again, perfect practice makes perfect play. Practicing the wrong things every day make you have a bad habit.
Well, and on one hand, they, you know, players have to realize as well is that we're not playing in the courtyard,
yep.
Right? We're not playing outside in the park.
Yeah.
We're playing on a court.
Team game.
Yeah, a team game. So, therefore, I have to have my footwork ready. If you're passing me the ball and I'm a shooter, my feet better be set and I'm catching that ball. And
catch
I'm
and shoot.
Exact, catch and shoot. So, you have to do that. And then even on the defensive side, we've talked about this as well. You know, it's about the angles. Therefore, I have to cut you off. If you have the ball offensively, I have to take that angle to be able to cut you off. I can't just run side to side,
yep.
And therefore you're going to go right by me, and that's unfortunately what happens. And the players, in a sense, are not necessarily have that good footwork.
Yeah.
Now, that can, we can take that back, you know, 5-10 years ago, you know, whenever they first started playing, in a sense, as far as whether it's instruction or otherwise. Who's teaching you certain aspects of the game, and then what habits or bad habits are you picking up in order to improve yourself? We've mentioned this time and time again, that if I'm not good at free throws, I'm going to shoot free throws. If I'm not good at footwork, I'm going to get with somebody who can show me what I need to do to improve my footwork, catch and shoot, blocking out, setting a screen for someone, you know, to be able to pick, getting in there and getting those offensive and defensive rebounds. You know, a lot of times they were touching the ball last night, but not controlling the ball. And there's a difference between being able to touch the ball and control the ball. And Model was controlling the ball on both ends of the floor and converting. They shot almost 60% from the field.
But look at their offensive setup. They weren't trying to score quickly. They were trying to score efficiently. So they were taking premium shots in good situations, where it's their advantage. There were several times last night I could almost call out a number, and there was several players were doing this. It wasn't like it was one, two, or three. It was probably more than that. Whenever a certain player last night touched the ball, you can guarantee they're going to try to get a shot up.
Yes.
And had that already made up in their mind before it happened. That can't be your philosophy. That's not winning team basketball. Those things can happen if you're playing in a different rec league. Not going to work really well for you in a team sport in high school basketball. We've talked about that time and time again. What you can do in a rec league is one thing. What you do in a high school basketball setting is totally different. You can have a superstar rec player turn out to be a good team player. They're totally different people out there. So, again, to be the complete player, you can't teach heart. And I will say this. If the kids get out there and give me the right, and I'm going to say this again, they're playing hard. So at some point, we got to be able to teach them what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. When is this a good shot? When is this a bad shot? And at some point, which we'll talk about a little bit later, there's other influences that may be getting in the way of basketball right now, too. So,
well, if anything, to break the game down and realize what it is that you did right and what it is that you did wrong, and self-evaluate and self-assess yourself.
But you have to listen. And want to listen.
Correct. And at the same time, there's no I in team.
Yep.
So therefore, it should be collectively, what can we do to come together as a unit? No matter the five on the floor, they're all interchangeable parts. What can we do collectively in order to set a screen, in order to rotate and move to my position? If the coach is calling out a play, I'm following the play to a T in order to execute it. That's why he's called the play. He thinks that's the one that's going to get us the basket. But if I'm not, if I deviate from that, and it's irrelevant what the sport is, we can go back and analyze football, and if all of a sudden the guard doesn't pull and get that block, then all of a sudden busted play, and we could have, you know, had he made the block, then all of a sudden you've got your running back going for a big gain in the circumstance. So, again, every individual has to know their role, know their part at any given time, and stay with it. And at the same time, I think with the fact that they're not shooting well, they're not defending well, that goes back to the individuals. What can I do in order to improve that? no matter if it's catch and shoot, no matter if it's moving, working with my footwork, no matter what the case may be. And you know as well as I do, if I continue to practice against you day in and day out, I'm going against you, which doesn't necessarily prepare me for the team,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we can simulate all day long, but it's nothing like playing against a different opponent.
If you're the player I'm going against and you are inferior talent, I'm going to look like a superstar every day until I go somebody that's inferior talent of myself.
Right.
Therefore, again, I always like to play people in golf. Not that I would win, but a buddy of mine, Kevin Lawson, I love to go play against Kevin. Every day we get out, we're getting the golf cart, I look at him and say, I'm going to beat you today. No, you're not. That's what his remark would be. And I really never did. But I would always play better trying to push myself against better competition. I'm not saying he always played better playing against me, but it was at least pushing me to try to do better against him. And I think if you're not willing to step up to a challenge, that's part of the game. You got to be ready to step up to that challenge. So,
well, and you do. And it, yeah. And even when I was a kid, the guy next door was like 2 years older than me, and we played basketball in his backyard all the time.
He should win.
All the time.
Yeah.
He would win all the time. But every time that he'd be like, oh, you want to play? I'd be like, yeah, I'll play because today I'm going to get you. But what was I doing while I wasn't over at his house playing? I'm practicing at my house.
Yeah.
So, therefore, eventually that gap closed.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of kids out on the courts, on their own courts, their own goals, on the tree, in the yard. You know, you don't see a lot of that anymore. Again, it's becoming more organized for these kids to play. Again, I had to learn that definition one time with play. That was really unique, and I didn't really get it until our professor explained it to me. But anyway, that's for a different show. We'll step away and talk about another break. We'll come back talk about girls, and we'll wrap it all up, talking about upcoming schedules for the boys and the girls here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Welcome back. Again, if we stepped on toes, we don't apologize. It is what it is. Again, the girls' action last night, Powell County did travel to Nicholas County and came away with a,
14-point loss.
14-point loss.
68-54.
And, you know, I think Powell County, and I heard this from a parent or player, I can't remember who told me this today, but Powell County actually took the lead early in the third. I think maybe a couple calls did go our way, and I think maybe Coach Jones got a tee. You can call in and let me know. But I guess the momentum kind of switched. Again, it's hard to play on the road. You go to Nicholas, Harrison, Bourbon, Menifee. You're probably not going to get a game that's going to be – you're down 10 when you walk in the gym. I just kind of put it that way. So you got to be better than the opponents and expect negative calls.
And you have to realize going in that I'm going to have to step up my game in all facets in order to overcome that perceived deficit when you walk in the door.
If I'm a 10-point better team than Nicholas, we're dead even walking in the door.
Right.
At best, we're dead even.
Right.
So that's something you have to learn. Again, if you're calling a different region, you owe that other team zero favors. They don't rate you. The other team rates them. Just like they come here. We rate the guys we get. They have no rating. So I wish it didn't work that way, but it is what it is. You know, when you're going out of region, it's tough to get quality officiated games. Last night for the boys, I thought the officiating was really pretty good. They may have missed a call or two. Nothing that made a difference in the ball game. So, again, even look at the scoreboard, and it was 8 fouls against Powell and 0 or 1 against Model. Model's playing in the zone. We're being active with our hands. They were playing with body. That region doesn't call out a body. So you have to kind of do a scouting report on how the game is being called, adjust your play to that, and then go forward. So these are all things that you have to learn as a player when you step up too. So, again, now Powell County will move forward. Again, a tough loss to Nicholas County, again, by 14. But both teams are in action tomorrow night. So the girls are away at
Wolf County,
which we'll have here on WSKV. And the boys are traveling to Cordia. So long drive for the boys tomorrow night. Then on Saturday, the boys play Fleming. I believe it's at 1 and 2:30.
So JV first, and then the varsity at 2:30.
And then the girls will play Hazard in the nightcap at 6 and 7:30. We'll be on the air at 2 for the boys and at 7 for girls action on Saturday. So we'll have a little bit of a dinner break before we go back to the station or to the high school. And then next week, I believe, have you got your schedule in front of you over there?
Give me a minute. But I will say this, just so everyone knows, that tomorrow night the varsity is only playing.
Yes.
And we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock, maybe a little bit before.
Thank
but
you,
still.
Yeah. 5:45, 5:50-ish.
So the girls' game, you know, 6 o'clock, and it's just a varsity game.
And no Facebook Live, correct?
No, I think we are. I get confused.
Just check it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look on the WSKV website. If you know, let us know.
Yeah.
You know,
we know. It's just we don't have it in front of us.
Well, then on the 8th, the girls are at home against Bluegrass United.
That is Monday? Tuesday. Monday.
That is Monday because they'll play Saturday, off on Sunday. Bluegrass United on Monday the 8th. The boys will be on the road Tuesday at Wolf. The girls will be on the road at West Jessamine on Wednesday. And then the doubleheader where the
Owsley
boys and girls will be playing host to Owsley. And then after that, on the 15th, then a doubleheader for Lee County.
So it sounds like to me next week we'll be on the air on Monday, Tuesday, and then again on Friday for the district matchup, and then also PCSN Live next Wednesday. We'll try to do a recap and a forward those next week and see how
I missed
things
one.
Have been going.
Bergen. The Pirates play Bergen on Saturday the 13th.
Okay, so that's also
that is a home game.
Next Saturday,
yeah, that's
we'll have that one.
Next
so week. We'll have, I guess, 4 games here on the radio next week. So, again, a lot of air time for the kids. So a lot of folks can listen to the action here on WSKV, Facebook Live, or streaming on WSKV 104 on the .com channel, but be on the internet. Just depends on what the Estill County side is doing as far as our games. If they're home, they'll be on the NFHS app. We'll be on Facebook Live. If they're away doing a district game, they may be doing Facebook Live. We'll be on radio. So, again, check out the ECSN schedule and the PCSN schedule. That's on the WSKV website. You can pull those up on the sports section and see what the schedules reflect for the next upcoming weeks on whoever you want to follow, either on the PCSN side or the ECSN side.
So, as well as on the WSKV Facebook page.
Yes. So you'll see all that info that's really needed info, even for Ken and I.
Right, you know, keep up where we're supposed to be.
It's all there. So, again, Ethan does a really good job of putting that information out there And again, Ken does a good job of scheduling what we're doing next. But again, that's where we are with basketball. We're going to take another break here on PCSN Live, come back with a moment, and we'll talk about other sports stuff.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
We're going over our schedule real quick. There's, I missed the break part, but again, welcome back here to PCSN Live. So it looks like the Monday game at home
against Bluegrass United for the girls.
That game will probably be on a minimum of WSKV. Now, on Tuesday, we'll be probably Facebook Live against Wolf County. And it will kind of keep you up to track after that. After Wednesday, we will not be doing the West Jasmine game on Wednesday, so we'll be here on PCSN Live on Wednesday to kind of give you the schedule for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So no broadcasting of games on Tuesday, or on Wednesday and Thursday.
Correct.
Even though the girls will be away at West Jasmine.
Yeah.
And then the Friday night game, boys and girls doubleheader against Owsley County on the 12th.
Yeah. Again, folks, we're trying to bring you as much coverage as we can on games that are meaningful for whatever the reason. Again, we normally would not have covered a model game other than it was a chance for, we thought, but Powell County to get their first win, so we wanted to be there for that if it happened. So that's kind of the way we try to do things. Normally we don't cover the model, the West Jesmonds, the Nicholas Counties. Normally we don't cover those games, but we will cover most of all home games. And then really good rivalries away, like the District, Wolf, Breathitt, some of those bigger games that, to us anyway, that are big rival games. We try to cover those as much as we can. Also, I kind of want to touch base on this. We kind of mentioned it earlier without mentioning it. And there are people that have to be part of a team. And this, again, this is my opinion, folks. So I'm going to try to tread lightly as I can. You hire coaches to instruct the players. You get the players who want to play. And without the coaches and the players, you really don't have a team. That being said, without the parents to bring them to the games, to take care of them, to take them places, we don't have anything either without the support of the parents. Then we have the regular fans who are out there, and then the families of the players, and your support group, the cheerleaders, the band, and all that goes into making of a event other than just a basketball game. It takes a lot of folks to do that, and we all become fans, and we all want to cheer for our team to win. That being said, I've coached here now. This is my 33rd year as a coach here in Powell County. And this is a issue you see all the time. I just try to avoid it as much as I can. Again, parents are normally your friends until the game starts. And then all of a sudden you find friends becoming enemies pretty soon. And I always tell people, if that ever happens with me, I probably will stop coaching, because coaching these kids is fun to me. It's an enjoyable experience, win or lose, because you get to do more than just teach a game. And again, you need parental support for what you are doing. when things are going south, people get upset. When things are going well, people still get upset. So one thing in common is if you were on a 10-game winning streak, and maybe this kid's not playing as much as you think they should, you're still upset. If you're 0-10, 0-whatever, people are upset because you're not winning. You can't make everyone happy all the time. But what you can't do is second guess what's going on at the practices. Once you do that, that kind of defeats part of the purpose, and that's about the respect that the players should have for the coaches, regardless of whatever else happens. If there's no respect there from the player to coach, the coach cannot be successful. And I'm not blaming anyone, but once the parents put thoughts in the athlete's head, I'm not talking about boys basketball here, I'm talking about girls basketball, softball, baseball, whatever the sport may be. Once they lose the respect of that coach, what can that coach get out of that player? Just asking you.
Well, and on one hand, are you asking for a friend?
What do you think about? I mean, what I put that out there as a coach, because I try not to second guess a lot of coaches. However, I catch myself doing that some as a coach, and then I know they're going to second guess me the same way. That's out there. You know, my job as a radio guy is do the color. My job is to kind of tell you what I'm seeing, and if it's negative to someone, then so be it. If it's positive to someone, then so be it. That's kind of what our roles are. But you know, we're outsiders looking in. But again, I just think there's so many more entities out there that control the thoughts of a player, whether or not they can be a good player for a specific program.
Well, I think let's use UK as the example.
Yes.
Just in general.
Yes.
Well, on one hand, they specifically remove those players and put them in Wildcat Lodge to stay away from some of those other influences. They control, they know where they're going, comings and goings on a regular basis and within their practices. They still obviously have issues, even though they're, I'm going to use this term loosely, in a bubble, because UK basketball players have always been in their own little bubble.
Yeah, but this is more specific bubble.
Correct, yes. And I think under the circumstances, though, that even as armchair coaches at home when we're watching, no matter what the sport, no matter what our team is, we can always second guess and question, oh, just like we could the governor, oh, if I'm in that position, oh, I would do it this way. But then again, you don't necessarily see all of the workings behind the scenes to understand potentially why a decision or a non-decision was even made.
Yes.
As it relates to even an outcome. So again, I think collectively as a team, you have to push away the outside influences. And I'm not saying that to where all of a sudden someone is not listening to a coach, not listening to their parents or anything along those lines and being disrespectful, as much as it is. Sometimes if you're in the group of a team, no matter what the size, and you're only worried about the team and not so much about yourself. And that's one thing I can say about Coach Cal that he does. He causes those All-Americans to give up on self to collectively come together as a team
to be successful.
To be successful, and ultimately that's what it is. Because if I'm doing my part and my role and you're doing yours collectively, that should bring us together and win. No matter if you get 20 points and I get 5 points, maybe I ended up getting 10 rebounds and you only got 10 rebounds, and those rebounds I was able to give you and give the assist as well to do that. So again, forget the I aspect of it. Come together as a team and say, no matter what those influences are, we're only worried about this core group and what it is that we can do in order to succeed. And obviously, Everybody has to look at themselves individually, no matter if you're talking about coach, player, support, collectively, everyone together.
You know, we talk about this with Coach Cal all the time. If they were 10-0, people will still be critical. If once they didn't, with the national anthem a couple weeks ago, when they didn't follow what the norm is, people rebelled against that team. If we had been undefeated when they did that, people would still watch Kentucky.
people would give them a pass.
Yes.
Because at that point, they'd realize, oh, well, they're just 18, 19-year-old kids. Yes. Let's give them a pass.
But since it's a team where this is a down year, everybody wants to get rid of Cal.
Everybody wants to pile it on.
So it makes it worse. And again, you know, I use this example a lot. I had a cousin. I coached against him in Little League. I also had a cousin playing for me. And every couple years, we play this team, and we'd normally lose. The opponent team went, I think, about 5 years and had never lost a game in T-ball, Cap League, and Little League. And one regular weekday game we played, and we won. His team obviously lost, and we'd always go to their house after the games and eat ice cream and still be family. But this event, after the loss, he made this thing to me. He said, what happened? I said, what do you mean what happened? I said, we finally beat you all. He said, yeah, but we don't lose. I don't understand losing. Sometimes you learn more from losing than you really ever learn from winning.
Well, it makes you hungry. And,
yes.
And I have no doubt in my mind that Coach Cal has lost games
purposefully.
But yes. And he would probably never admit it. No. And although he would, but if you notice, after a loss, though, sometimes if he can put that spin on it, oh, well, in hindsight, I was good for our team to, you know, get focused, get hungry, and that kind of thing. But yes, we know that he has, I don't say thrown games, but yet he's not coached to win. Let's just let it play out. Yeah. And, oh, guess what? We lost. Oh, well, inside he's going, good, because now I got these guys' attention, realizing, guess what? You've not arrived yet.
Yeah, you're not as good as you thought you were.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, and therefore you spend that and use that as that learning opportunity.
That's kind of what I was going with my cousin. Again, their next time out, they lost back-to-back games. And I think because of the first loss caused the second loss.
Of course.
Then we put doubt in a team that had all the confidence in the world.
Yes.
And, again, it works both ways. Again, I always took my team for ice cream, win or lose. Their team only got ice cream when they won. There was no ice cream on a loss. So, okay, and again, this is a coach's prerogative. You do whatever you want to do. I always loved a coach that made the kids run for missing a free throw. Does that make you a better free throw shooter?
No.
I mean, it may put pressure on you to shoot better, but what makes you a better free throw shooter is shoot free throws. Continue to shoot free throws. Work on what you're doing when you're shooting a free throw. Get your routine, get your pattern, and do it that way. I've never really agreed with running, quote, running as a punishment. It was, to me, it was really not there. The only, it's
counterproductive in some respects, because now you've
work
lost
on the skill, but not the punishment part.
Yeah, and even when I was coaching, when my kids were playing, no matter if it was baseball, t-ball, basketball, is that one of the things I always told the kids that I was coaching, it is my job to make sure by the end of the season, you're an improved player.
Yep.
That's my job. I don't care about the wins and losses, because at that level, we're talking elementary, middle school. At that point, I don't care about the wins and losses. I care about you getting better as a team. Do I want to win? Of course I do.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I want you to improve, because going forward, that's going to help you at that next level as you enter in. But I'm working on your skill set. And therefore, they're having more fun at the same time because there's no pressure on them. I've taken the pressure off saying, I don't care if you win or lose. I just want you to get better. And ultimately, a majority of them get better.
If kids are having fun, they will likely perform well.
The pressure's off.
Yes. And McCall, you know, I always tell our kids, like in softball or whatever I'm coaching, I'm going to take all your losses. It's my fault. I'm going to give you credit for all the wins. Enjoy them. And I think sometimes it does maybe alleviate some of the pressure, because I don't want – it's a game. Enjoy it while you're out there. Enjoy your life playing a game. If you don't enjoy it, don't play. Again, if you're having a bad run and you're not enjoying it, don't play. Don't come back. Maybe but things brighten up for everybody else. I don't know. Sometimes there's bad apples in a group that cause everything else to go south. But regardless, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, don't play.
Now, I will say this about the boys' team, the basketball team. They at least go the full four quarters, right? They do not slow down. They are trying, no matter what the score is.
Down 20, cut it to 5 at Lee last week, and we were so proud of their performance.
Yes.
And again, don't let what happened to you, I guess, last night in that 31-7 third quarter, don't let that make you forget about what you almost did, what you came just short of, how close you played in some games this year. Don't forget some of the positive that you've had moving forward, because you can always find a positive. Just don't dwell on all the negatives, because it's, I promise you, if you go home and it's negative, it's not fun. It's not fun for that kid. And again,
but nobody likes to lose.
Nobody likes,
right?
No.
And therefore, if they can get that win under their belt,
it at least takes a little bit of the pressure off everybody.
Now realize, though, you have to build on that, right? Now, just because I got one game and the onus is off my back doesn't necessarily mean it stops there. I've got to come out the next game and play just as well, if not better.
Yeah.
Because now I have something to prove that I've crossed that hump, and now all of a sudden I've got to carry that on and make it better.
Just be aware, when you got a team, it takes everybody. Player, coaches, staff, fans, parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, whoever, even maybe your radio crew. It takes the entire group of us to support the players. Let's just don't all come together and break them down, because as long as they're out there doing the best they can, that's all we can ever ask. So, again,
I would like to say this.
Go ahead.
When we make these comments, we are in no way trying to break anybody down.
No.
Other than to point out observationally what it is that we see areas that need to be improved.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean it. Again,
no matter what the sport, we've done that
for
years.
How many times does somebody come up and tell us, "This, you guys, like for me, I know personally, you need to enunciate better and slow down you how fast you talk. When I get excited or I get on a little bit of a rant, I get faster and faster and nobody understands me." Trust me, I hear it all the time, and not just from at home, but I hear it from other broadcasters and listeners. I didn't understand what you said. So we also get critiqued when we're doing just a broadcast.
We critique ourselves.
And if we don't, guess what? We don't get any better.
And we do, trust me. We do critique ourselves. We know when, well, we just know.
We know when we mess up, because we're told by someone. But again, without the critiques, you don't get better. So again, be positive with your critiques.
Work on your craft.
Yeah, work on how you deliver that message. So, again, good luck to the boys and girls. Rest of the week, we'll be with you tomorrow night
at Wolf County,
and we'll be with you again on Saturday here at Powell with Boy and the Girls, the late doubleheader, if you will, here at Powell County High School.
Remember, tomorrow, girls game, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, yeah.
Varsity only.
Yeah, varsity only game tomorrow at Wolf. So, tune in next week to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Owensville, Camargo, Korea, Trapp, Bowen, Bear Track, and Island City. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.